This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
You treat your fellow man. Therefore, you cannot be a pious person. You cannot be a proper Muslim, where you are, mashallah, five times a day in the masjid, but you're a terrible person to the people around you. That is not Islam. The Nabi Sallallahu's characteristic of how he treated people is what Allah mentioned. And so Allah says in the Quran, فَبِنْ رَحْمَةٍ مِّنَ اللَّهِ لِنْتَ لَهُمْ. Allah says, and by Allah's mercy, as a gift from Allah to you, O Muhammad Sallallahu, you were good and lenient with them. Allah is also describing the type of leader he was. So any of you who are in a leadership position, whether at home, in your work, you're the CEO, whatever it might be, Allah says to the Nabi Sallallahu, you, O Muhammad Sallallahu, because of Allah, you are very lenient with those beneath you. وَلَوْ كُنْتَ فَضَّاً غَلِيظَ الْقَلْبِ. But O Muhammad, if you had been rude in your speech, and you were harsh of heart, your followers would have left you. Allah subhanahu says, Abu Bakr would have left you. Umar would have left you. If you had a terrible akhlaq character, min hawlik, they would have left you. So Allah says, fa'afu anhum. So Allah says, so be pardon your followers, your sahaba, be merciful with them, and ask forgiveness for them. And you ask Allah to forgive your sahaba. Wa shawirhum fil amr, and consult them. This is the man who Allah speaks to. And Allah says, still when you make a decision, make mashura with your community. Yes, you might be the dad, the sultan, but ask your kids, even though 5 years old, what did you like? Where should we go? Where should we eat? Where would you like to go on holiday? Just consult the opinion, Allah says, consult the opinion. Speak to your employees. If you're a manager, give your subordinates a chance to give the opinion. Then Allah says, and once you've decided, then rely upon Allah, and Allah loves those who rely upon Him. And so this is the leadership style of the Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. And this is what caused this man to change the world. So let's look at it in practice. As the Sahaba always mentioned, that the Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam was always optimistic, he was always upbeat. When you read the seerah, the biography of the Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, it's war and battles and crisis after crisis. The world is constantly falling apart. And he's got akhirah worries. He got Jahannam on his mind, Qiyamah on his mind. But the Sahaba says, I've never seen a man who smiled more than the Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. He's not moping around. He's not down on his luck. He is positive. And when you're a leader, and people look to you for reassurance, you can't be the man panicking. You can't be the one screaming and shouting and losing your cool. The Nabi Sallam is smiling. He's not laughing and falling on his back, but he is smiling. Everything's going to be okay. It's going to be calm. We put our trust in Allah, and he is positive. He also led by example. This is what wins your sahab, wins your youth. You as an imam, you as a father, you as a CEO, you as the manager. If you want to get the buy-in from your subordinates, you need to be the one that leads first. You are in the trenches with them, literally. I mean, we'd say in the trenches. This is literally. Jabir, we spoke about the hadith last week. Jabir said, when we were digging for the back of the trench, the man who was digging the hardest, breaking the big rocks, was the Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. And while we were all hungry, when I saw him having the stone on his belly, I realized he was the man that was starving the most. I saw the Messenger of Allah on the day of the trench carrying dirt until his chest was covered in dirt. His entire body is in the trench digging. Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. Yet many of us, we feel that's the PA's work. That's the secretary's work. That's the cleaner's job. Not me. This is Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. And the Battle of Badr is another great example, especially in crisis. The Nabi showed his leadership style. In the Battle of Badr, they were short on camels. So people had to share. Three had to share one camel. And the other two had to walk. And then they take turns. So when the Nabi's camel came, they said, we'll say, Ya Rasulullah, you ride the camel, we'll walk. Also, side note, the Nabi Sallam is the old, amongst all the Sahaba, there's very few that were older than him. He was always the most senior in age. Abu Bakr is younger, Sayyidina Umar is younger, and many of the, Sayyidina Ali is much, much younger. So, here you have the senior man in his 50s, and you have a lot of men in their 20s and their 30s. So they're going to say, Ya Rasulullah, you ride the camel, we'll walk. We don't have to take turns here. And he was sharing a camel with Sayyidina Ali and Abu Lubaba. And he said to Sayyidina Ali and Abu Lubaba, no, guys, we're going to share. You will ride, when it's your turn. Because, one, I also need the rewards like you. The one who walks is getting more reward from Allah. Do you think I want to be deprived of the reward? I also want the reward of walking. And he says, you guys, maybe you think you're young. I can also walk. I'm just as strong as you as I can walk. And so, mashallah, not even in his way of showing politeness, he makes it, you know, look at the impact it must have had on Sayyidina Ali. And you know, subhanAllah, you look at the impact. This event, 20, 30 years later, when Sayyidina Umar conquers Jerusalem, a moment which is etched in history, Sayyidina Umar is coming to Jerusalem to conquer the city. Not with an army, just him and his servant, the two of them. They come to Jerusalem from Medina, one camel, and exactly as they shared. One day you walk, one day I ride. Even though you're the Khalifa, I'm the slave. Sayyidina Umar said, no. The journey is the same, we share. And when the time came to enter Jerusalem, it was the slave's turn to ride the camel. So the slave said, "Ya Amir al-Mu'mineen, we can't enter the city. You the conqueror, and you walking, I'm riding. Let us swap now. I know it's my turn, but we swap." So he said, no. Fair is fair. And so imagine this conquering Khalifa enters the city, walking, and his slave is riding the camel. Where did he learn this from? From Rasulullah SAW. And that moment is still today mentioned in the books of history. Why, when we conquered Jerusalem, and inshallah we'll do it again, so peacefully, no blood, no bloodshed. Giving over, this is the kind of man we can easily give our city over to. The Nabi SAW, something we can learn, and you know, I speak to myself, to take note of even the most unimportant people in your community. You know, when we get our WhatsApp messages, we know, oh, the boss sent me a message, I need to respond. The wife sent a message, I hope that's one of the important, you know, you pin them, that's important chats I do. But then, okay, so-and-so sent me a message. SubhanAllah, sometimes mom sends a message and I'll get back to her. But Nabi SAW is busy with the affairs of the state, the government, and the affairs of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Yet he knows what's happening with even the junior most people in his community. Sayyidina Umar's son was a young boy, young man. And the Nabi SAW would see him in the masjid and see him engaging and talking to his friends. And so Sayyidina Umar says, Nabi SAW says this about this young boy, who perhaps is not engaging with the Nabi SAW directly. I notice him, he's a good boy. MashaAllah, Abdullah is, what an excellent man he is. The Nabi SAW is choosing a young man. He identifies as, what an excellent young man this you are, O Abdullah. If only you made a little bit more tahajjud, you will be super excellent. After that, Abdullah bin Umar never missed tahajjud. And he becomes the senior most companion in the next generation. When his father, Sayyidina Umar and Abu Bakr passed away, Sayyid Abdullah bin Umar is the most senior man. And this remained with him. The Nabi SAW noticed me as a good person and said, just do a little bit more tahajjud. And he never neglected prayer. The Nabi SAW, he also found value in every single person. How many of us have teams? I'm also guilty of this. And we say, oh, if I only can get rid of these two, three people, there's nothing I can do with them. They just need to, can't they do me a favor and just resign or something, win the lotto and quit, you know? The Nabi SAW had a function. Every person has something to contribute. The Battle of Uhud, one of the young men, Zayd ibn Thabit, we all know this very famous companion, you should know him, subhanAllah, you should know him. Everyone who recites the Quran, you owe this. This is the number one hafidh of all the Sahaba. Zayd ibn Thabit, number one hafidh, the main hafidh. Comes to the Battle of Uhud, he's still a young boy, 14, 15. All his friends are allowed to join the army, but Zayd was a scrawny guy. And so the Nabi said, no, you need to sit this one out. Completely demoralized. You know, young boys, imagine you on the bench, you think about this. Everyone is going to play in the World Cup, you're not good enough. On the bench, kicked out of the team. Completely broken, demoralized. After the battle, the Nabi said to Zayd, come my boy. You're a very smart guy. Maybe you don't have muscles here, but hey, you're a smart guy. I want you to be my personal secretary. When I write a letter, I can't read and write, so you will read to me. And, mashallah, you know Hebrew, because he grew up in Medina. I want you to be my ambassador with the Jews, when you communicate with them. And when I get wahi from Allah, because you can read and write, you take it down, you be my scribe, you will be my secretary. MashaAllah. Based on that, Zayd radiallahu anh, he was always with the Nabi Sallam. And he received revelation. When the Nabi Sallam received revelation, he's the first man taking the minutes, the secretary. Therefore, when the Prophet passed away, and Sayyidina Abu Bakr said, we need to put the Quran together in a book, They said, who is the most knowledgeable Hafiz amongst us? Everyone said, Zayd. 18-year-old Zayd, he knows more Quran than Abu Bakr and Umar. He is the best Hafiz amongst all of us. Zayd, you are the one that's going to write the Quran into a Mus'haf. Subhanallah. The Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam understood everyone's potential is different, and he had a place for everybody. And the Nabi Sallallahu, so he takes note of everyone. Another, subhanAllah, another very interesting example. In his final battle of his life, the last battle of the Nabi Sallallahu life was also the biggest in terms of number. Every battle, the Muslims are getting more and more and more, called the Battle of Tabuk. Tens and thousands, 30, 40,000 Muslims joined this battle. And midway in the battle, the Nabi Sallallahu said, where's Ka'b? Ka'b, radiallahu anhu, is one of the companions. And he even says, I know Ka'b got a new camel. Imagine, he knows who's missing in 30,000 people, and he also knows Ka'b should be here because he just got a new camel. I understand if he didn't have a camel, he can't be part of the army, but he just got a... And this is amazing. It's a very difficult quality. But imagine you, I mean, just imagine you're the CEO of some big company. Well, you can't compare the Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam to, I mean, imagine, but you're the CEO of some company. And you know, I didn't see Auntie so-and-so. She's the janitor, the cleaning lady. How's her son doing? I know she was in hospital. But her so-and-so, how, you know, his daughter got married. What do you think this does to the men that are underneath you? Your companions. He is not scrutinizing me from keeping check on me, but he knows the situation of my life. He knows what's going on, and he feels my absence. The same with the cleaning lady of the masjid. When she died, we all know this hadith, the lady who cleaned the masjid was a slave lady. When she died in the middle of the night. So the Sahaba, they ghusled her, and they made janazah, and they buried her. The Nabi says the next morning, he said, where's Auntie so-and-so? I don't see her. So he said, Ya Rasulullah, she died. She passed away, so we buried her. And he was so sad. Why didn't you call me to do the janazah? They thought, you were too busy to make janazah on the janitor, on the cleaner. She's not so important to you. For him, what did he do? And he didn't do this for any other Sahaba. He went to her qabr and he made a janazah salah. He said, no, you should have told me. You should have told me. I wanted to make janazah salah on this auntie. Now, sometimes you always can't be the good guy. You can't be the good guy. You have to be strict dad, bad dad. You know, I don't know, fun. There's fun dad, not fun dad. You have to be the manager who reprimands. The Nabi's job is not just to be fun time Nabi and smile and be happy and say, mashallah, it's okay. When they made mistakes, he had to reprimand them. And this is a skill of the Nabi Sallam. One of the traits of the Nabi Sallam is he praised publicly. He mentions the success of people publicly. People feel so demoralized when they do something good and they get overlooked. He made a point of praising. Abdullah, you're such a good man. What an amazing person this one is. You are the best of us, Zayd. But when he had to reprimand, he did it privately. He didn't mention their names. And if he had to do it publicly, he would do it in such a wonderful, wonderful way. And he did it depending on their level. You don't reprimand the kindergarten child the same way you reprimand the university professor. You should know better, so we go harsh with you. Even though I love you more, we'll get to that. So, Anas radiallahu anhu says, and who is Anas? Anas is another young boy who got to live and grow up at the hands of the Nabi Sallam. When the Nabi Sallam comes to Medina after the Hijrah, he comes there and people are coming to the Nabi Sallam, giving him barakats. Ya Rasulullah, here's some kusisters, here's some dates, come to my house, I want to host you. A lady comes and she says, here's my son Anas, he's 6 years old, he is yours. Meaning, whatever you need, Anas will fetch it. Whenever you want something done, Anas is your boy. So the Nabi Sallam, mashallah, Anas, okay, I'm stuck with you now. So now Anas is with the Nabi Sallam every day. And that's why, how many hadith and Anas said, this is that Anas. Anas said, I met the Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam when I was 6. And when he died, I was 16, 10 years. The happiest day of my life was the day I met him. The saddest day of my life was when he died. And in that 16 years, in that 10 years, not once did he reprimand me in a way that I felt bad. And here's an example. The Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, Anas is saying, and this is a man, this is a boy who got to see the Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam personally. He says, the Rasulullah was the best of all men in character. One day, he sent me to do an errand. Anas, take this errand to Abu Bakr, whoever. And I said, Anas says, I said to the Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, I swear by Allah that I will not do it. He's telling the Nabi, I'm not going to do it. Nabi says, Anas, go do this for me, my boy. And I said, no, wallah, I'm not going to do it, Ya Rasulullah. I don't want to do it. Right? He's a boy. And the Nabi says, but in my heart, I felt that I should go. So Anas said, but I felt I should go and do what the messenger commanded me to do. So the Nabi left him when he said, I'm not going to, no, I'm busy, I'm playing PlayStation now. You do it. He's saying to the Nabi Salaam like this, right? But he felt, okay, eventually I must go. So then he got up and he went. So I went out. But on my way to deliver whatever, I saw boys playing in the street, so I started playing with him. I started playing with him in the street. And then, now time goes by, he doesn't know how long he's been playing in the street. All of a sudden, the Nabi came up behind me, and he caught me by the back of my neck. Right? And when I looked at him, he was smiling at me. He was laughing at me. And he said, oh Anas, go and do what I ordered you to do, oh little Anas. And he said, yes, I'm going to go. I'm going to do it now, Ya Rasulullah. Now, this is... Subhanallah, the way in which the Nabi Sallam engages. How do you think this makes Anas feel? You can't almost 100, the Nabi Sallam passed away when he was 16. He lived to almost 100. But Nabi Sallam was his man, was his hero, was his icon. And he would tell the Ummah what a great person the Nabi Sallam was. The Nabi Sallam didn't have to tell Anas, record my hadith, you tell them what I did. He just had to, by example, Anas admired him. And so the Nabi Sallam understands, Anas is a small boy. He's 6, 7, 8, 9. He's going to play PlayStation, he's going to be... So the Nabi Sallam is soft with him. Another beautiful example is the Bedouin. We all know this hadith, the Bedouin comes in the masjid and he embraces Islam, mashallah, takbir, he's a Muslim, and the masjid, in the middle of salah, he breaks off and he stands in the corner and he urinates in the salah. Now if any of us did this, now subhanAllah, think about this, how many times someone walks in the masjid, doesn't smell right, we think, oh, he's just here for begging, you know, we always want to chase him out the masjid, no, stand here, just fail. Oh, we do this. Imagine he then went to the corner and he urinated in the masjid. That subhanAllah will be a janazah salah after Jummah. That poor Buddha would be dead. And that's exactly what was going to happen. The Sahaba wanted to jump and pound this guy. And the Nabi said, stop, leave him. Let him finish. Also, his wisdom. Why let him finish? You pick the man up, he's going to urinate all over the masjid. Leave him, let him finish. And then... when he was done, the Nabi says, Haji, come here. Come, let me speak to you. And so the Nabi explains to him, this is a masjid. We make salah here. And this is a place that we worship Allah and we are pure. If you want to urinate, go outside. The Nabi understands this man is a Bedouin. He doesn't know any better. This is how he lives. He urinates in his own house like this. And so the Bedouin says, and this is a beautiful part. The Bedouin says, may Allah have mercy on you, O Muhammad, and me, and nobody else. Just the two of us. May Allah have mercy on the two of us. These guys all wanted to beat me up. So the Nabi laughs and he says, you've tried to take something very, very big, Allah's mercy, and make it very small. Rather, Allah's mercy is for everybody. Oh, subhanAllah, just an amazing moment. However, this is Anas and a Bedouin. They don't know any better. He can also be harsh and strict with those who should know better. Mu'adh ibn Jabal, radiallahu anhu. Now this is a senior companion. In fact, Mu'adh, and these are companions we should know. Mu'adh radiallahu anhu, do you know what the Nabi said about Mu'adh? The Nabi says, on the day of Qiyamah, when all the fuqaha, Imam Shafi, Abu Hanifa, all of them are going to be called, those who pass judgment in laws of fiqh, their Imam is Mu'adh. So you are a professor, Mu'adh. You are someone that the Nabi Sallam has made a leader, a governor. The Nabi Sallam said on the hadith, Mu'adh bin Jabal led his companions in Isha'i Salah. So Mu'adh is now the Imam, he's leading Salah. And he made Isha'i long. MashaAllah, he's a man of tahajjud. And so he read a long Isha'i, bachat too long. And during the Salah, a man broke his Salah and he left. And he went to go pray by himself. This is too long now. I've got things to do. And Mu'adh was told about that. And Mu'adh says, that Buddha is a munafiq. How can he break Salah and just go like that? A'udhu billah, astaghfirullah, what a munafiq. And when that man, the Sahabi, heard Mu'adh call me a munafiq, he went to complain to Nabi Sallam, Ya Rasulullah. He said, Mu'adh made Salah long. I couldn't stand so long in the Salah, so I broke it and I went. Then he called me a munafiq. You Rasulullah, what do you think he's going to do? Who do you think he's going to reprimand? The Nabi calls Mu'adh. And he says, Afattan anta? Are you a fitna maker, Mu'adh? You want to break the jama'ah? You want to cause disunity in my community? Oh, Mu'adh? Wait, now it's harsh with Mu'adh. You want to make salah long, mashallah, but you cause the whole jama'ah to be upset to the point where someone now breaks his salah. You should know better, Mu'adh. So then the Nabi says, oh, Mu'adh, when you lead the people in salah, recite wa shamsi wa duhaha and wa duha. Keep it short. This is Isha. You keep it short. And when you and sabih isma rabbikal a'la, keep it in the short salah. And basically when you and kul wallahu ahad, recite short surahs when you lead the imam. So it's part of the fiqh of the imam that if the jama'ah gets frustrated with you, you shouldn't be the imam. You recite in a certain way that the jama'ah doesn't like, it's bad, because you must want people to recite. But when you want to make salah on your own, you can then make as much tahajjud as you want. And so, very, very strict. These are harsh words. Where is the soft Nabi? Where is, oh Anas, you know, Bedouin, may Allah have mercy on you. This is an imam for you. What is his crime? I made too much salah. No, you should know better. And that's why also, not immediately after this, but towards the end of his life, the Nabi is about to die. And now he's saying his final goodbyes. Mu'adh is one of the people he got to say a final goodbye to. Because Mu'adh is now going to Yemen as a governor. And the Nabi knows, I'm not going to see you again. And now you know who Mu'adh is. That was a Bedouin. We were soft with him because he's not close to me. The Nabi was hard on the ones he loved the most. He was hard on those closest to him. I expect better from you. And so he says to Mu'adh, oh Mu'adh. Mu'adh is telling us the hadith. Before I went to Yemen, he called me. And he says, oh Mu'adh, I swear by Allah that I love you. SubhanAllah. Many Sahaba love the Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, but there were very few that he said these words. Mu'adh, wallahi, I love you. And he says again, oh Mu'adh, wallahi, I love you. And then he says, I advise you, O Mu'adh, to not forget after every salah to say, Allahumma inni ala dhikrika wa shukrika wa husni ibadatik. He's saying, O Mu'adh, I love you. Now also, how is he giving, he's teaching him, make a dua, Mu'adh. If he says, Mu'adh, make this dua, don't forever forget. Allahumma inni ala dhikrika wa shukrika wa husni ibadatik. Oh Allah, help me to remember you. And help me to make shukr of you, to thank you. And help me to worship you in a proper way. He didn't say, Mu'adh, make this, not this dua. He says, Mu'adh, I love you. I love you. Make this dua. And he advised him, and then he went to to Yemen. When he had to reprimand people, and sometimes people make big mistakes. Sahaba also made big mistakes. One of the companions, radiallahu anhu, he kind of betrayed the Muslims in a battle. The Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi was about to invade Mecca, to conquer Mecca, and he wanted to do this stealth without the Quraysh knowing. Because once, if you capture him on surprise, there's no battle. I can just easily take over Makkah without any bloodshed. And when the Nabi was about to dispatch the army, one Sahabi sent a letter, the Muslims are coming. The story why this Sahabi, his name is Hatib. So when the plot came out that Hatib sent a secret letter to the Quraysh informing them, the Nabi called him. You know Sayyidina Umar's way of solving his management style? Very simple. Remove the neck of this munafiq. Right? That's Sayyidina Umar's default position. How do we deal with this guy? Remove the neck. Oh Hatib. So now the Nabi says to Hatib, oh Hatib, what obliged you to have done this? I want to understand. Why would you my Sahabi, why would you do this? And so the Nabi says, so he says, oh Ya Rasulullah, and he says, oh Allah's Messenger, why, for what reason should I not believe in Allah and His Messenger? I have not done this because I'm a kafir. But I did this because my family is in Mecca and I was worried of the safety and security. And I, in my heart, I believed even with my letter, Allah will intervene. There's no way Allah is going to allow you to lose. So it was a win-win. This is my reasoning. Sayyidina Umar says, hey, I don't buy this, Ya Rasulullah. This guy's a munafiq, he's a traitor, kill him. So the Nabi says, Sayyidina Umar, don't you know? Now, this is it. This is the point for us as fathers, leaders. Your subordinates may make a big mistake. Don't forget the 10 years of service that they did to get there. Don't forget all the times they did good things. They dropped the ball this time. They made a big mistake. So then Sayyidina Umar, wasn't Hatib at Badr with us? When we needed him at Badr, he was there. This man has a lifetime of legacy of good. He made a mistake now. And so Allah has forgiven his sins. This one is overlooked. And so this is something for us to learn. In marriage, in our relationships, your best of friends, your colleagues, your wife, your husband might let you down. Don't throw away 20 years of success, of goodness, because of one mistake. Even if it's a big mistake, we all make mistakes. This was a big one from Hatib. He genuinely, I mean, this is treason. But then he was with us at Badr. So we overlook this one because he was with us at Badr. To end off, every Sahabi, if you can do this, it would be great. If every employee, every child, every person you engage with believes they have a special bond with you, that you are the, they are your favorite, then you know you're on the right track. Every Sahabi genuinely believed, I was the favorite of the Nabi Sallam. And this is this this last hadith we mentioned is one that we should all know. There's a Sahabi called Amr bin al-As. The names, I know it's a lot of names. Amr radiallahu anhu is one of the latest Sahaba. He's not Abu Bakr and Umar's quality. He comes much later, he becomes a Muslim. He embraced Islam quite late. And after he embraced Islam, the Nabi gave him a promotion. You're going to be a leader of an expedition. Ah, so he felt good. And he promoted, the Nabi promoted him above Sayyidina Abu Bakr and Umar and Ali. So Amr believed, I'm the main guy. Now they come back from the expedition and they explain what happened, and Amr did a good job. He was a good leader. You know, he won the battle. And the Nabi obviously praises him. Now imagine the scene. You're in the masjid. Abu Bakr is there, Umar is there, everyone is there. And so Amr says, Ya Rasulullah, why not tell us who do you love the most? Who's your favorite amongst us? He asked the question publicly. And the Nabi was asked, like, this is an awkward kind of question. Why are you asking a question like this? No, I want to know. Who's your favorite? Why is he asking it? He believes, Amr, you're my favorite. So the Prophet says, Aisha is my, I love the most. So Aisha, my wife. How many of us would say that, subhanAllah? How many of us would say that? Just point here. Aisha isn't there. This is the man, the men. She's not there. He's not trying to give her some, we sometimes, I love you for the brownie points because I want to watch the cricket tomorrow, right? He's saying Aisha because he genuinely wants to know, this is my wife, she's my favorite, she has my heart. So then Amr said, no, not that kind of love, Ya Rasulullah, amongst the men, who's your favorite amongst us? So then he says, Abuha, her father, again, he didn't say Abu Bakr, he said her father, Aisha is still on his mind, her father, Abu Bakr is my closest. So Amr said, oh, okay, and next is Umar. Oh, next, Uthman. And then Amr said, I kept quiet. Because now I realized I'm not on the top of the list. But he believed he was. And this is the genius and the brilliance of the Nabi Sallam. His ability to reach the hearts of every person to the point where they felt, you must love me even more than Aisha. I'm your favorite, right, Ya Rasulullah? But, alhamdulillah, it's something for all of us to learn. And may Allah grant us to be the best of leaders, to win hearts, and grant us to follow in His Sunnah. Ameen. As I said, we've got our youth here for the Dawra. For those of the youth that are here, please, after Jummah, please stay and come speak to me. And then we have our AGM. You're all Musallis and part of this masjid. Please join our AGM this Sunday, the 21st of July next month, inshallah, where we look at the how we manage the masjid and the organization. Please participate. Jazakallah khair. Wa sallallahu sayyidina Muhammad wa ala alihi wa sahbihi islamu al-salim. Assalamu alaikum wa barakatuh.